You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I come before you a fool, a simple man, and I have no capability of giving this message except by your strength, your guidance, your help. I ask for that. I ask that you guide my words, carry me through this, use me as you see fit, and speak to your children that it's your voice they hear. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You then, my child, you then. It's also translated therefore, and you know what therefore is there for. It's to bring us back. And I was looking at that, bring us back to where exactly? As you've heard me preach a couple times now, usually I'll back up a little bit and start with a few verses before the text that we're in. And I didn't do that today because I think the you then is there for the entire first chapter, and that seemed a little bit too much to bite off in one chunk. You have the faith that was in you, you then, my child. The gifts given to you, you then, my child. The word entrusted to you, Timothy, you then, my child. My suffering, Timothy. You then, my child, be strengthened. And you then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you look back at verse 2 of chapter 1, you'll see these same words. My child, grace, Jesus Christ. It's a chiasm. You can look at it later yourselves. Trust me, it's there. And in the center of that chiasm, the center of that message in chapter 1, you have verses 9 and 10. God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifest through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is the gospel message. That's the kernel. That is the essence of what the gospel message is. And this word has been trusted from Paul to Timothy. He says, you then, my child, by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the whole message here in this letter. That is what Paul is trying to drive home to Timothy, who's going to be taking over the church in Ephesus. Remember, we learned about Nero and the purging going on, Christians being lifted up on poles, covered in wax and lit on fire for parties, Roman candles. And we heard about the wolves coming in as Paul left Ephesus. Wolves are going to come in with a false gospel, with a false message to pull the congregation off course. You then, my child, be strengthened by by the grace, and we could also say by the means of grace. And my thoughts go back to verse 7 in chapter 1. Timothy, you've been given a spirit not of fear, not of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-control. That's the grace that's given to Timothy. That's the gift that's given to Timothy. That's the spirit that's given to Timothy. And he says, be strengthened in that. Endure. Stand. This isn't the first time in the Bible that we've had a passing of the baton. There's Moses and Joshua. And the Lord tells Joshua, as they're about to enter the land, with this great challenge before him, he tells him to be strong in the Lord. And David, passing the baton off to Solomon. Remember, David wanted to build the temple, but it was Solomon who built it. And before that, in 1 Chronicles 28:20, he says, be strong, courageous, and do it. And even Jesus Christ in the garden was strengthened. Luke 22:43, before the crucifixion. Be strong. God wants us to do his will, and he knows we can't do it without him. So he makes himself through his spirit available to encourage us, to strengthen us, to guide us, and we need to hold fast to him. Paul says, you then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. So what did Timothy hear from Paul? I think this includes the entirety of it. There's scripture for 2 Peter 3:16 and 17 implies that to some extent what Paul's messages were understood as scripture at the time. There's certainly the doctrine, the pattern of sound words. All of it entrusted to Timothy. In the presence of many witnesses, this was provided to Timothy. And that same word, entrust, we see back in verse 12 and 14 of the first chapter. We have, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And here we have this word, entrusted. Not entrusted to just anybody, but entrusted to faithful men. Proven, trustworthy men. Remember, we just heard about all those in Asia. All those in Asia turned away from Paul. And it's also men, plural. And we're not talking about a pope here. There's a multiplication going on. Faithful men who will be able to teach others, plural again, also multiplying. And the who will be, there's a future tense to this. And consider you have Paul talking to Timothy, that's two, faithful men, that's three, who will be able to teach others also. That's four generations, as it were, of passing the baton down right here in this one verse. Brings to mind back in chapter 1, Timothy, his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and that faith was found in Timothy too. There's a passing along. We're to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That share in suffering, if you go back to the chiasm, I encourage you to do that in chapter 1. Sharing suffering is the one hugging it, hugging that gospel message in 9 and 10. And he says, share in suffering as a good soldier, a noble soldier, an excellent soldier, heroic, perhaps. We're to be a good soldier. And being a soldier implies what? It implies there's an enemy. It implies there's a battle. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. And listen to the words here and how similar this is. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And it goes on from there. Stand firm, be strong, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the commander of the Lord's army, we read about in Joshua 5:13. And I want to read about, you know, we think of Jesus Christ as the Lamb. We think of him suffering on the cross. But there's going to come a day where he comes in a different light. And I'm going to read out of Revelation 19:11-16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, that's us, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, suffer, share in suffering as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crop. So we have three analogies here that Paul uses to talk about this being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And again, my thoughts go back to verse 7 of chapter 1, love, power, self-control. The soldier aims to please the one who enlisted him, that's love. The athlete's discipline, that's self-control. And the farmer works under the power of God, which is what is growing the crops, if you think about it. It says no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Entangled. I only found one other use of this word, and it's in 2 Peter talking about false prophets getting entangled in their certain lusts and passions, comparing to a dog returning to its vomit. The NASB and the KJV, I think, do a little bit better job with the translation here. No soldier in active service, no soldier that warreth, So the sense of it's not just any soldier, you know, sitting in the barracks, but in the trenches. If you're in the trenches, you're in the middle of the fight. This is a hot war. You're not entangled in civilian pursuits. Pursuits, the word there is where we get pragmatic. And, you know, think about it. Is that really fair, Paul? Are you being fair here? What, I can't have a job? I can't have my daily life. I'm supposed to read the Bible 24/7. What are you saying? Civilian pursuits. Isn't that like just my regular life? Well, I had the same question. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 is very helpful. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, whether we recognize it or not, we're in a fight, even in these civilian pursuits. It's more of a perspective thing. If you recognize that, you know, when you're getting ready, starting your day, maybe start with prayer. Maybe start with some Bible study, a devotion. And on your way to work, maybe having some gospel music on, something that's encouraging, something that brings Christ to mind. And while you're in your civilian pursuits, you know, perhaps being a good witness. We're in a war whether we recognize it or not. And our aim as a good soldier is to please the one who enlisted us. He's worthy. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes. Unless he competes according to the rules. Well, first of all, he has to compete. And this brings to mind, you know, letting us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Olympics are going on right now, right? This is actually, it's the Olympics that Paul likely has in mind here. And they would receive a perishable wreath. But we, in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, I won't read it, but receive an imperishable crown, Stefano, a reward for competing according to the rules, he says. I'm going to stick with Colossians here to kind of bring this one out. Colossians 2, 18 through 19, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, which is just to extreme self-denial, and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. That's capital H, head, talking about Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body nourisheth and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Competing according to the rules, not abiding in Jesus Christ. You could sum it up with that. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Hard-working, weary is another translation. And farmer, this one's interesting. Husbandman, tiller of the soil, vine dresser. I like tiller of the soil the most. Jonathan's been up here preaching about the four soils, and we recognize God's hand in preparing that soil, the heart condition to receive the word. That's God's work. But remember, God enlists us in his work. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. So I think it's appropriate, the tiller of the soil. I hope that I'm helping till the soil right now by God's strength, by his working through his spirit. and the farmer's faithful. There's an element of faith in farming, isn't there? You plant that seed and you wait. And you rely on God for the rain, for the sun. You do the weeding. You till the soil. You do your part. But as Paul said, but God gives the growth. And Paul says, it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. The first share. You know, I'm up here sharing the word. Maybe it's penetrating some of your hearts. It's doing the work that God sees fit to have it do. But I benefited from this before you did. I tasted this good word before you did as I prepared this message. So it's inherent that Timothy is going to get the first share of the crops as I have. And praise God for that. As some of you know, it's been a challenging last week for me. And I was able to spend time studying about this message and sharing in that fruit, and it is good. Staying with Colossians, why not, right? Colossians 1, 28 through 29, just very quickly. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. That's it right there. It is the hardworking farmer. That is the hardworking farmer. It is his energy, and he is the one powerfully working. The summary of this is, be strong to teach the word, Timothy. There's a theme of self-denial and hard work that leads to reward, and most importantly, pleasing God. Paul closes the same way I'm going to close. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think over what I say. Dwell on it. Meditate on it. Chew on it. You know, the idea of a cow bringing up the cud. That's what comes to mind here. Consider it. Consider it again. And consider it again. Think over what I say. That's your part. And then God does his part. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And I hope that he does. Gracious Father, I thank you for this word. And I ask that you would help us, that you would come alongside us, that you would penetrate our hearts, and bring to mind the wisdom that you would have us learn from this. Be with the discussion hour, be with your children, and I thank you for the opportunity to share this. May you be glorified through all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.